Hi, my name is Kim. You're listening to Historia.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome again to another episode of Historia Podcast. Tonight we have Matt from Anime Talk. Woohoo!
Hey, hey. Thanks, everybody.
How are you doing, buddy? How are you? I mean, how things are? What's your outlook for 2021?
First of all, things are good. I'm happy to be live another year. You know, starting off 2021, a lot of people unfortunately weren't able to make it this far. So of course I'm appreciative for that. I'm starting. As of right now with the podcast, like we started the podcast back in September. So podcast is, you know, fairly new, but we're starting a season two coming up within the next couple of weeks. So I'm excited about that for the show.
Yeah.
A lot of new anime coming out. So a lot of stuff to kind of talk about. So it's looking like a good outlook. I do a lot of like youth coaching for like basketball and football. So those seasons are coming up as well. So it's looking like it's going to be a pretty good year, you know, COVID depending, obviously, if it morphs or anything like that. But for the most part, it looks like it's going to be a pretty good year.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And you mentioned also that you play basketball, you're an athlete.
Well, I'm a coach, so I coach. I coach youth. I coach 9 and 10 football, and I coach. I coach 11 through 13 basketball.
Wow.
Yeah.
Being a coach is, it's just amazing. You know, it's one of the hardest tasks to do because you really have to manage a team. You know, their game plan, the strategy. All the things that you do inside the court, you know, and also their attitudes, you know, the attitudes outside the court.
I mean, trying to tell 9 and 10 year olds what you want them to do and get them to actually listen to you is always challenging, but it's rewarding when you see it all, you know, come together. But when it doesn't, you just want to grab them and be like, man, listen to me. I know what I'm doing. Like, yeah. I'm older than you. Listen to me. I'm trying to teach you the right thing. So
yeah, I've been there. You know, I've been in that.
Exactly. I know what you're dealing with. Just stop talking. Listen to me and stop dancing. It's okay. Like, we got this.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I think this episode we will be talking all about anime. You know, all of the things that you've done, and also a little bit about your podcast. So. Can you name what's the first anime you've watched, and you know, how were you introduced into it?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, how did you fall in love with that anime, you know?
So the first anime, like, I feel like I got started on the same shows that everybody else did, like the Dragon Ball Z's and, you know, the maybe like the Naruto's and stuff like that. I remember. Yeah, running home. I remember running home from school, you know, like getting off the bus and trying to get to the house before Toonami came on to like watch all the Toonami favorites and stuff like that. And what ended up happening was I got into Dragon Ball Z, obviously, because it was the first show that I watched, but I never just really like got into Dragon Ball Z, if that makes sense. So the first kind of shows that I really watched, I can say that like I watched and actually loved and got into, was I first started watching Big O. So Big O was probably my intro anime that I ended up watching. And ironically enough, that was when I was younger. So I never really just watched it and just was like, okay, I understand what's going on. So when I turned like, I think I was about 17, 18, I had moved in with a friend of mine and his parents, and his stepdad was like a huge anime buff. Like, this dude had like, I don't know, like, you know, like those big tub, like those big bins that you have. Like, he had like maybe five or six of those bins of like Dragon Ball Z, like action figures and DVDs and VHSs and games and just cars. He had like everything.
Yeah, the collection.
Yeah, he had a full collection. And so I was sitting there, and because I had told him, you know, I was like, because he was big into anime, and he was like, so what have you watched? And I was like, well, you know, I used to watch Dragon Ball Z back in the day. And he was like, oh, Dragon Ball Z, you say? And he like went upstairs in the attic and like brought all this stuff down. And I was like, okay, you know, that's pretty cool. And I remember just one night I rolled over, I couldn't sleep. And one night I rolled over and I caught a glimpse of Bleach playing, and I didn't know what was going on. I think it was like episode like 100 or something like that. It was just a random one-off episode on Toonami, because that was when they went to like the late night Toonami, where anime used to come on at like 11 to 12 o'clock at night to like 5 o'clock in the morning. And so I was like, oh man, like, you know, I woke up the next morning. I was like, dude, so I was watching this show last night. It was an anime, but the dude had a big sword. And he's like, was it like this? And he pulled it up on DVR. And I was like, yeah, that was it. And he was like, dude, what episode? He's like, what episode was? And I was like, I think it was like 100 and something. He's like, if you like that show, you got to start it from the very beginning. Now, mind you, at this time, they didn't have, there wasn't like a Crunchyroll. There wasn't like a Funimation. There wasn't Hulu. There wasn't Netflix. So we literally sat there in this old school, you know, computer, watching YouTube, like trying to find part one, like the one of three, like trying to watch each one of those. And I had the, and I think like a couple of those episodes, probably at least five episodes, I had to watch with Japanese dub, but Spanish subtitles, because they didn't have like the American. So I was just like, as long as I can get the context of what's going on, like I don't have to understand the words necessarily. As long as I can understand what's kind of going on, then I'll kind of get it. So those were kind of the shows. So Bleach was the first one that I watched to completion. Like I went back and watched all 367 episodes of that, I think. And that was the first show that I just really jumped into it. And after that, it just kind of took off. I enjoyed the art style. I've always been drawn to, I feel like, the Asian culture. I've always loved, you know, the dragons, the lore behind like a lot of like the samurai, the feudal age, you know, like I've always been drawn
myth,
to it anyway.
Yeah. Legends or something about the past. You know?
Yeah.
So
I've always been drawn to it. So just the simple fact of like getting into the art style, like I said, the art style and listening to the story, because people don't understand. And I just had this conversation the other day. People don't understand that there's so much more depth to anime than what people think when it comes to just the animation style. Like there are storylines that you can't get. Like there are storylines that you can't get. There are relationships that are formed. There are emotions that are portrayed, you know, in their facial expressions and things like that added an actual depth to the cartoon. Like when you think about, and I feel like I just had this conversation the other day with somebody on a episode that I was recording for my podcast. When you think about, you know, Western cartoons versus like Eastern, you know, anime, it's like they're night and day. Like they're not even in the same category. It's apples and it's not even apples and oranges, because at least those are both fruit. You know, this is like apples and tomatoes. Like they have nothing to do with each other. The only thing they have in common is that they're red. But you know, and that's where I think I kind of drew to it. I love cartoons. Don't get it twisted. Like I can watch Disney Channel all day. Like I can enjoy some good cartoons. But just like I said, the surface level depth that's here in the East, and the fact that, or in the West, but the simple fact that like we dilute so much, like we deviate from, like, you know, it's like, oh, is this going to make people uncomfortable? We're not going to say it. You know what I mean? Whereas like in the Eastern culture, it's like, nah, like, hey, this is taboo. Like these two guys, they're about to kiss right here, like on this show, like enjoy it. Like here you go. I'm putting it in your face. And I think that, you know, that's a big thing, you know, that kind of drew me into it, is just the depth and, like I said, the the fact that it's not all surface. It's a good show. There's a lot of episodes that usually come along with it. So,
right. You know, it's really funny you said that, you know, the classic, the Dragon Ball Z, you know, that's where I started too as a kid. You know, the only difference is that when I was a kid, you know, it's also the same, like on a TV show, it just got televised, you know, and it's sometimes random episodes. You can't really tell what episode is it or what's the story all about when you were younger. So, as well, you know, when I get into high school, it's kind of a little bit about that too as well, but I got the hang of it, you know, Naruto, I've had this, you know, the animations are just amazing and all these actions. You know, I love the action for sure.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, but really the first anime that I've completed was Fairy Tail. I don't know if you know about Fairy Tail. So it was, you know, the power of friendship stuff. Yeah.
It's always the power of friendship, man. Yeah. If you're not believing in the power of friendship, you got to believe in the heart of the cards, man. It's one or the other.
You know, the one thing I like about anime, you know, the power of friendship that overcomes it, you know, a lot of things. So, yeah.
Oh, speaking of that.
Ooh,
the power of friendship, because Ash, everyone knows that you couldn't beat Ash because you were never friends with your Pokemon the way that Ash was friends with
his. Pokemon, you know, it's been existing for a very, very long time, you know, and still it's ongoing and still popular. Mm-hmm. You know? If you take a look at the cards, you know, the Pokemon cards, just expensive, you know.
Yes, so, yes, they are
ridiculously amazing. All right, so, you know, I know that you've watched a lot of animes throughout the year. So, what are you watching now? You
know? Man, yeah, like you said, I've definitely been watching a lot, and I think that this has given me an excuse to watch more anime, and I can now chalk it up as like research. So now, like when somebody's like, "Dude, you just sitting around watching?" I'm like, "No, I'm researching. I am researching." Yeah. But right now, I just got done burning through Darling in the Franxx. That was what I just got done watching. Of course, I'm current on a lot of the new shows that are out, you know, your Jujutsu Kaisen, Black Clover, One Piece, Fire Force, Haikyuu. I'm current on all of those. I know that some of those are going into season hiatuses right now, because the season finale just kind of wrapped up. So I'm a little sad about that, but I'm really excited. One Piece is probably obviously the crown and jewel. Like I make that joke to people all the time. I'm like, if I ever, you know, luckily, you know, I was able to stay employed through this whole COVID situation. But I was like, if I ever decide to go to like another company, like I'm putting on my resume that I watched One Piece. And so if they ask like, oh, well, you know, how dedicated are you? I'm like, you ever watch One Piece? 900, like 60 something episodes of the show. I'm pretty dedicated.
Yeah, it's very hard to catch up. You know, you really have to watch it for, you know, even months. I actually watched that on my friend's laptop when I was in college, and it was very hard to catch up. Sometimes you really have to skip some parts of it. Especially the opening and the ending, you know, just skip some of not so important details just to catch up. And it will really take you months just to.
Yeah. You know. I think when I first started watching it, when it first came out, I think I stopped watching it. Like when it was current showing, I think I stopped at like episode 34, I want to say. And then I think like a couple years ago, I sat down and I was like, dude, you know, I never finished this. Like I started this show and I never finished it. And so it literally turned into a job. And when I say a job, I think I probably watched no less than probably 6 to 7 episodes a day for almost 2 months.
Wow.
To catch back up on that show, to get current. So it took me quite some time, but I know one thing I always tell people about One Piece, because a lot of people see it as a very daunting task and a very like long show that doesn't necessarily need to be that long.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I tell people about that show is there's very little filler in that show. Everything right. that happens in that show is very candid. It actually plays into the storyline. Like it's not like out of those 900 episodes, 300 episodes are filler. Like it's not that at all. Everything right. is every story that's in there has a purpose. So it's worth it.
Yeah, and one thing I could note about about One Piece is that the author, you know, the author is just genius, you know, because you know there's a lot of foreshadowing, there's a lot of mysteries about it, and still up until right now, you really can't solve all the mysteries of One Piece. What's about the D clan, you know, the what's with Shanks or what's with Zoro's left eye, you know?
Yep.
A lot of mysteries, yep. you know, a lot of questions yep. that you can't really answer. And you yeah. know, just waiting for it to be, you know, revealed makes you very excited. So that's one thing I love about One Piece. And you know, so that's really cool. Now, how can you tell if an anime is good or not? What's your judgment around it?
So to me, like a good anime has something unique. Like I'm a huge sucker for like a good plot storyline, but like at the end of the day, like the creme de la creme for me for any anime is character development. Like if you have a character that can come in and you see them grow like through the whole show, which like you said to the point that you just talked about with One Piece, like to see the journey from what you see at the very beginning of One Piece where Luffy is to see where Luffy is now, like there is a lot of character development. There's been, and I think that there's an emotional piece too, right? So there is, how do you display like your anger? What do you go through? Like in like with Luffy's situation, you started off with a dream. Your dream was, hey, you know what? I'm gonna be the Pirate King. That is all I have. Like whatever happens among, you know, between now and me being a Pirate King, I don't care. I just want to be a Pirate King. Yeah. But then not only did you get the storyline, now you said, or not only do you have your end goal, but now throughout the storyline, he's been met with tragedy. He's been met with pain. He's been met with happiness when he's been picking up members of his crew. He's been met with, you know, hatred that, you know, other people feel towards him and the way that he feels towards other people. So there's a lot of emotion and there's a lot of personal growth that the character goes through, which is another thing that I love about it. And for me, I think the other thing is that I feel like a bad anime to me, I hate to say it's bad because I mean I feel like all anime is art, but to me your the anime that I don't really care for is those annoying, like the main character that's like really annoying, like those annoying main characters, like your, like Naruto was a very brief one for me because at the very beginning, I was like, dude, I cannot get into Naruto. I was like, dude, Naruto is just walking around. He's crying all the time. He is yelling all the time. I was like, yeah. you know, he's just always overly emotional. I couldn't get into it. But now granted with that show, there was backstory and there was back, you know, there was that, character development that helped right. overcome that. But you know, there are some shows that like that, and I'm also one of those people that are part of the elite race where I am a sub guy versus a dub guy. So if there's a show that has like a really dope like dub, then I will watch it. But if like in the case of Dragon Ball, I absolutely love Dragon Ball. I like Dragon Ball Z. The problem was is I could not watch Dragon Ball Z subbed because yeah. every time I hear like Goku and his
no.
like, oh my gosh, like yeah. I'm like, you are an adult. More.
Yeah.
I'm like, you are a man, Goku. You are at least 30 something years old. I'm gonna need you not to sound like a little 7-year-old with marshmallow in his marshmallows in his mouth. Like you can't do this, man. So it just depends on that. The sub versus dub too. So if a show has a really good like case in point, Yu Yu Hakusho. I love Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah.
But when I watch Yu Yu Hakusho, I always watch Yu Yu Hakusho in dub because I love Steve Bloom. So if you have a really dope you know voice actor that's in the show, then you know that helps too. So
yeah, I really love the dub sometimes. There are some shows that are, you know, I'm from the Philippines, and you know, some shows that got televised on our local, you know, national TV, are dubbed in Tagalog. So some of it are really good. I like the Dragon Ball Z with the Tagalog dub, although also the English one, but I never liked the anime. You're right. It's
yeah, exactly.
So damn annoying. I don't get it. Don't like it.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that I do like a good couple. I love a good relationship that is formed inside of the anime, whether it be a friendship or, like I said, I just recently just finished, and I burned through and binged through Darling in the Franxx. I can understand now. I didn't watch it when it first came out, and I remember seeing everybody having the picture of the little girl with the horns, and I was like, who is this girl? You know, like, I remember seeing that, but now that I watched the show, like, once I started, I literally binged through it, I think, in, like, 2 days. So seeing the couple, the relationship that they had in that show, like, that's definitely one that I'm addressing on Valentine's Day, because it was just a powerful couple, a loving couple, a love story that was hidden inside of an anime. So it gave me two of my favorite things, which is a love romantic connection and mecha. Like, I love robots and anime, so it gave me two of the things that I really love. So
love that. I think I'm gonna watch that after the show.
Yeah, it's good. Like, it's, and be prepared for the waterworks, man. Because at the end, like, I'm just sitting there, and I was like, my eyes started tearing. I'm like, oh god! I was like, why is there no more? I need more.
Yeah, I have that feeling in anime too. You know, it can really make you emotional. Sometimes you won't really cry, but you know, it's, oh my god, why did this happen? No, this is the best girl. No.
Exactly. Yep.
Exactly. So it was something like that. So I really love those kinds of, you know, story. You know? So how far do you usually go when you support anime? Do you, you know, aside from doing this podcast, you know, I can clearly tell that you're showing a lot of support to anime, just, you know, just by making this podcast, just by, you know, producing your own podcast. So what are your other ways to show appreciation, or have these, do you also buy figurines or merch? You know, what do you usually do?
Yeah, I used to have, and I've been really debating on getting back into it. But I used to get those, the Loot Crate anime, loot crates. So I think it the only reason why I got out of it, because it ended up getting pretty expensive, and I figured I could do something else with a lot of that money. But I used to get those crates. I got the crates for probably like two, three years. So I have a lot of like random figurines, which, shout out to Loot Crate, because it was a really dope box. I mean, you got a figurine, a volume one manga, a t-shirt or some kind of clothing. And it was all like theme based. So like, if you got like a dual one, I think I got a dual one time, it came with like the Millennium, like a little mock Millennium puzzle, and like, you know, a Yu-Gi-Oh card, or not a Yu-Gi-Oh card, but like some Pokemon stuff, like, you know, just a lot of like dual based things. So, you know, it was really cool. But I think the biggest thing that I bought, and I was just joking about this yesterday, I bought a couple years back, Cowboy Bebop, which is hands down one of my favorite shows of all times. I can watch Cowboy Bebop like to no end. Like, I've watched it 10,000 times. I'm almost to the point where I can pretty much speak it like line for line. But a couple years ago, they had a 25th year anniversary special edition box that came out. And it came out on Funimation. A buddy of mine, he told me about it. And we were like, yeah, man, you know, let's kind of look into it. So they had three separate boxes you could choose. So you had like the regular, you know, just the regular box set. Then you had like the one that had the, like, a holographic card, a vinyl, stuff like that. And then you had the premium one, which had like all, everything encompassed, and like a figurine and all this other stuff. I'm not going to say how much I spent, but I spent way too much on one of these. But the way that they did it, though, and I thought was kind of cool, is that they gave you the option. And essentially what they did was they only made the one that won. So I ended up going for the bounty. I think it's the Bounty Hunters edition. And I that was the middle one, so I ended up going for that one, and that one won. So when we got that, when I got that one, I was actually part of the first 1500 to get one. So I got a certificate of authenticity for my box set. I think I got like number 1463. So I was like right there at the end of the cutoff. But yeah, it has an art book. It has the steel box edition for the anime. It has the movie. It has the vinyl, like an actual, like the record with all the music from the show. Just everything on. I think it was maybe $200, $250, something on this. Like, get this. So, I mean, it was a nice little investment. But the cool part about it was, like, we bought it ahead of time, so you pre-ordered it. But it ended up coming like months later, so it was almost like a Christmas, like when it popped up at my house. So when I opened it, I was like, yes, I have it all. I've completed the collection. I have the 25th year edition of this show. So so yeah, that's probably my biggest purchase, like I said, besides the little loot crates and things like that that I used to get. But that's it. I'm not a big wall person. If I ever make like a studio, I guess you could say, I'll probably put like, you know, some banners up and figurines on a box set and, you know, things like that. But yeah, exactly. But as far as that, that's the cream of the crop right there. That's the big collection right there.
Yeah. You know, having that memorabilia, you know, takes a lot of money, you know, and you know, you really have to work hard for that, you know. So, you know, for us, you know,
yeah,
especially if you're not financially capable, you know, so far I went, you know, spending a lot from games, video games, you know, with the anime collaboration on it, especially the gacha ones. Wow, you know, you can't really tell what's on there, so it's really hard, especially if you get the character you want on the gacha. Oh my gosh, it's just so fulfilling. It makes you OP, makes you all that power. Oh my god, I'm a god now.
And that's the other thing too, is like, you know, I look at a lot of pictures, I'm sure you've seen them, but like you look at a lot of those pictures where it has the where it has like, you know, people taking pictures of like their manga collections. And I'm like, dude, I know for a fact that each one of those mangas cost you at least between $13 to $18 for one. So I'm like, so the simple fact that, you know, you have like 100 volumes, like there is a lot of stuff that I think I can do with $1,300 than just spending it on, you know what I'm saying, some books that you're going to look at maybe like once or twice and then put them up on the shelf, you know what I mean? So or like Gundam models, like people that buy all these Gundam models to put them together. I'm like, the cheap ones, like the low end ones that I've seen are like, we have like MTAC down here in Tennessee, but like those are, you know, the cheap ones are like $25. So I can only imagine the people who get the big, like, you know, scale size ones that are, you know, $400, $500, and you got like six or seven of these. I'm like, dude, I can think of a lot of other things I can do with, you know, $3,000, you know, or more than, you know, than just buy some toys. So if you're going to spend that type of money, just send it my way. You know, I'll do something with it. I'll invest it for you or something. Like, just send it my way. So,
you know, kudos to those, you know, buying those Gundam things. You know, it really takes a lot of time to build those, and you know, you really have to be creative. You really have to think a lot of ideas to make your perfect robot or perfect Gundam. So you know, just me looking at it, you know, sometimes, oh, it's a pain. Oh my god, it's just so hard. You know, so that's really fantastic. So yeah, kudos to them. So, all right, here's an interesting part now. Please tell us some of the anime songs you love to listen. You know, anime is just full of amazing songs. So,
yeah,
sure, you're not gonna miss on some openings, so, right?
Yeah, man, I love like love, and like I said this before, I kind of talked to it just a moment ago, like, Cowboy Bebop is my favorite anime, so I can literally listen to a Cowboy Bebop any song, any at any time. I have some of those songs on playlists. I have some of them on my YouTube playlist, on my Spotify playlist. I got them everywhere. But outside of Cowboy Bebop, there's on Bleach, I remember calling the OP number six, the opening number six that he did on that one. It's called Alones. That one was is really dope. That's the It's the da na na da da na 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 da da na 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 da na. Yeah, it's a really cool like, and the video looks really dope too. It has like that, like it looks almost like a old school noir like setup, like it's the black and white and it's just kind of Cone like sitting there singing and all the other puppets behind him. It's like raining and everything. And I'm like, oh God, the emotions. I feel them. I feel the emotions.
Just epic.
But Far Away Go. Far Away Go is one that I'm enjoying. That's Far Away and Go from Naruto. Those are some good ones. Silhouette from Shippuden. That's one of the openings that they have there. I love that one. Absolutely love Silhouette.
Yeah, a lot of that. Yeah, favorite.
there's a on JoJo's. I love JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. People and I and you know what I will say about JoJo's. This is one thing I will say about JoJo's. I love, absolutely love JoJo's, but I couldn't at first when people first told me about it, I couldn't get into it because I remember everybody talking about how they were like just these muscle bound men and women, because it's not just the men on this show that are just like swole, and they were just like, yeah, but they have no expression. It's like this like cut and dry 2D type style, and I was like, dude, this looks so horrible. But after watching it, and now that I'm current like on all seasons, I'm like, you know what, if anyone comes to me and they talk to me about JoJo and they're disrespectful in any type of way, I'm gonna slap them in the face with my JoJo's fist. Like they're gonna get a whole like exactly. But there's a on the last season of JoJo's, it was really weird. I was at my parents' house when I first started watching the show, and I was listening to this to the ending, and I was like, I feel like I've heard this song, but I thought it was my parents, because the last season they use "Freaking You" by Jodeci as their closing. So I'm sitting here, I'm like, I know my parents are not playing like "Freaking You," this old school, you know, sex R&B when I'm sitting here, you know, in the bonus room. So I paused it and I'm like, are y'all listening to music? And they were like, no, what are you talking about? And I played it again, and sure enough, that was the song. I was like, how are you gonna use "Freaking You" as an outro song for an anime? Pretty much, I mean, between that, between those, obviously the newest ones that I'm enjoying right now, is Jujutsu Kaisen. The opening for that show is absolutely amazing, and so is the closing. Those and the elephant in the room, man, is a show that I recently just binged through again, another quick watch that I enjoyed on Netflix, Cannon Busters. Cannon Busters, their opening song was absolutely amazing. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but their opening song is a really dope. It has a very Cowboy Bebop-esque feel.
That vibe, you know.
Yeah, like that. It has like that vibe,
like something.
Yeah, well, it's dope. And I've been telling people about Cannon Busters, just because, you know, obviously being myself, you know, and being, you know, part of the African American community, it's really dope the way that Cannon Busters is set up, is because pretty much every character on there is Black. So I thought that was really dope that they had all pretty much essentially a full Black cast. So even the intro coming into it is, so you can tell that it's sung by like someone, you know, who had, and I like I said, I looked into it, I can't remember the name of it, but it has that like urban, you know, kind of pop feel to it. So it makes you, it kind of ties everything together with like, you know, the Black Lives Matter and community and things like that. So it's a really dope opening.
Wow, that's really amazing. Cause I really hear, or I really see anime with, you know, featuring Black people, maybe a few, but you know, not a lot, you know, not a lot of, you know, Black people are introduced in anime, especially being characters and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Things you can see are, you know, females, you know, swordsman, you know, white or something like that. So
mm-hmm.
It's a game changer.
Or they're or they're all what you call, or they're all like the misappropriated, like, you know, Mr. Popos of, like, you know, the you know, all black face, big lips, you know what I mean? Or they're like, yeah, you said, they're subsidiary characters, like side characters or secondary characters or something like that. So just the simple fact that, like I said, this, the way that this show was set up, Cannon Busters on Netflix, it was really, it's a really, really, really dope show. So,
and also one more thing, with, you know, the JoJo openings, I have to go back there. So, you know, it's still pretty popular even nowadays, because, you know, I think it even exploded more because it generated a lot of memes. If you like anime and you love memes, then you really have to go for JoJo.
JoJo's, yeah. JoJo's. There's a meme for everything.
Yeah. From season one to season five, to current season, it's consistent. Very consistent. Love it.
Yeah, there's. I mean, if you need a meme or you need a GIF of anything, JoJo's has probably got you covered in some way, shape, and or form.
Yeah, love it. All right, so how does anime inspire you? So what made you launch, you know, your podcast?
So with me, anime was originally a bonding thing. Like I said, I was going through, like I said, at 17, and not to give too much of my backstory, but at 17, I had moved out of my parents' house. I moved in I wouldn't even say he was a friend. Like, I had met this guy like at school a couple of times. I knew about him. And I was just going through some rough stuff at the home. And I was like, man, look, I ain't trying to go back home right now. Like, is there a way I can stay here for a little bit? And his parents were like, you know, we don't know the whole situation. Let's talk to your parents and, you know, see what's going on with them. And they talked to him and they were like, you know what, we'll let you stay here until you graduate. So that was really, really dope with that. So when I first moved in, it was a bonding thing, because, again, like I said, I wasn't big into anime. I wasn't really big into anything, you know? So I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. So when I moved in, and his name is Tom, my friend's stepdad. So Tom was like, hey man, you know, have you ever watched this? Have you ever watched this? And I was like, no, dude, I've never heard of any of this stuff. And so sitting down, and like I said, him taking the time out to bust open all these, you know, these big tubs of anime and, you know, show me where he had recorded it.
Walks.
Yeah. You know, and at the time, you know, like I said, you didn't have all these streaming services. So this was just old school DVR. These were old school shows that he had, you know, DVR'd and stuff, as he had caught them kind of come on on demand. Like, I think on demand was just getting big. This was like in 07. So, you know, on demand was getting big. So it was like, yeah, man, let's pull up, you know, something in, you know, something over here. And I'm like, yeah, you know. So it originally became a bonding thing with him, and then over time, just like I said, the artwork, and really the negative stereotype that really got thrown onto anime is what helped me start the podcast. Because, and I joke with people all the time, I think my job is to undo the bias that comes around anime and hentai. Like, I hate the fact that every time that someone, like, I remember growing up and I would tell people, like, when I was 17, 18, you know, dude, I love this show. I love this show. I love this show. And it would be the first thing is some kind of sarcastic joke or something like, oh, well, do you watch anime porn too? You know, and it's like, these things, they don't coincide, like, they don't coexist. Yeah. Like, you don't have to sit here, like, in every show that you watch, every show, yes, there are harems, yes there's hentai out there, just like there's regular porn, yes, there, you know, there's all of this stuff exists. Yeah. So for me on my show, when I came up with the podcast idea, I was like, my friend told me, he was like, dude, you know a lot about anime. He was like, you got a voice for anime. I absolutely hate my voice, but he kept telling me I had a voice for anime, or for a voice for a podcast. So I was like, you know what? If I can, let me get out here. Let me tell people about the good side of anime. Let me tell people about the storyline. Let me tell people about the depth, the plots. Let me tell people about these shows that were slept on, like, that came out around the same time that a lot of these other shows have come out. Like, people are, you know, up in our, or people love, and I love it too, but people love your Harry Potters, your Lord of the Rings,
right,
your, you know, these the what is it, the Chronicles of Narnia, all these fantasy and, you know, fantasy worlds that people live in. But it's like, but when it comes to anime, which does the exact same thing, if not, and it does it better, if not, you know, if nothing else, why can't you get into a show like this, you know? And people are like, oh, you know, it's just cartoons. I'm like, it's not. It's it goes deeper than just cartoons. Like, this is not just, there's a reason why there's a huge community of, you know, of otaku. Like, this ain't something that we just woke up one morning and was like, ah, it's just a cartoon. We just want to sit around and watch it all day. Like, people devote their lives to this art style. So those are just kind of some of the reasons why, you know, why I wanted to do that. And I just thought that if I could just reach one person, I'm one of those type of people, if I can just get one listen on a show, and just say, and somebody that just sits down, that's why I did an episode on starter animes on Netflix. That was a huge show for me, because I was like, if I can get one win, if I can get somebody after listening to this show to go to Netflix and click on one of these shows that I talked to, then I feel like that's huge for me, you know? And then they tell somebody like, hey, you know what, man? Because at this point, I just describe shows. I don't even describe and say like it's an anime. Like, when I talk to people, I just describe a show. And then they're like, dude, that is dope. Like, that is an amazing show. And I'm like, I just told you an anime. Go watch it. You know what I mean? Like, because the concept is there. It's just now people just have this negative connotation, and not even a negative connotation. It could just be that people just don't care about the animation style. So now I'm like, you know what? Cool. Instead of me telling you that it's an anime, what about this? What about if I tell you that this is what the story is about? Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, you know, they have these negative stigma to anime, you know, no, it's for kids. No, it's whatever, freak or whatever like that. But little do they know that it actually changes lives, you know. Yeah. You know, maybe they're using anime for, you know, escapism, you know, mm-hmm. they're being bullied at school and, you know, anime became their inspiration, you know, to do something better, you know.
Yeah.
You can't really tell. And you know, you're really correct in that point that these are also stories, and sometimes they do better just regular shows. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes those regular American movies or American, you know, any kind of show, you know, they just do better sometimes. So they have a lot of, you know, inspiration, you know, the art, you know, the story. There's just a lot of depth into it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So indeed, you're correct with that. So now here's an interesting part as well. So I've been asking a lot of my guests about this. So rate your happiness levels from 1 to 10, and why do you rate the such?
So I guess happiness, if we're talking, are you talking about happiness with life overall, or are you just talking about like in general? Okay, so yeah, so I would say, I mean, I'd say probably a 5 or 6. I'd say I'm probably mid of the pack, only because I feel like there's so much more that I can do, whether it be financially, whether it be with work, whether it be with my podcast, whether it be with writing, which I've been writing a book now, I feel like, for like 5 years, like a graphic, like almost like a graphic novel type for it, like an anime. I'm just constantly like a work, like it's just constantly a work in progress. You know, I want to be better. I think I'm harder on myself sometimes than what I need to be, only because I realize that we live in a world right now where like people are scared to be hard on you. You know what I mean? Because it's you're scared because one of two things. Either they're scared to push you to a point where now you're intending to do like self-harm to yourself, or something's going to happen there, or they're scared to push you because if I push you too much, then you're going to say I'm assaulting you, or I'm doing something, you know, I'm bullying you, or I'm doing something like that. So I feel like in this world, like now that we live in, people are just like, you know what? If you're okay with being mediocre, that's fine. Like, I'm okay with that. I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to say anything because you're okay with this. And I don't want to upset you. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to do anything. And so people just kind of pull away and they're just okay with it because they themselves are probably in a situation where they're okay with, you know, their place in life as well. So people don't want to help or not help. It's not, and it's not even that they don't want to help. It's just simple fact that maybe some people don't know how. So for me, I want to be my own harshest critic and just say that, you know, as a lot of things, like I said, I'm happy to still be employed, happy to have a podcast, happy to have a roof over my head, clothes on my back, food in my stomach. I'm happy for those things. But those are normal things of life. You know what I mean? Like you don't pat yourself on the back for, you know, getting up and, you know, going to work every day. It's like, no, you know that you want something at the end of the day. You got to have money to get it. So, but like I said, as far as the podcast, like I said, I think that the podcast has been probably one of my biggest babies during this COVID thing. Like I said, we came out in September, and coming out in September, I think as of today, I think I'm at 795 listens right now.
Wow.
So I appreciate all the listeners out there that did that. And like I said, I mean, that's since September. So you're looking at roughly 3 months. So you're looking at almost 200 listens a month, if not a little bit more. So just a simple fact that, you know, that's been there. Like I said, that's my motivation right now. It's like, hey, you know what? Now let's take this to the next level. Let's do giveaways. Let's do merch. Let's do things like that to push this even further. So as I said, 5 or 6, I'm happy where I'm at, but I'm not complacent at all. I want to do better. Yeah, I want to do better.
You want to go up? You want to go to the next level? You know,
something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to level up. Like I said, I'm doing better now because I was at the point with the show. I was recording, like my shows drop every Monday, but I was at the point where I was recording on like Sunday night and like trying to hurry up and put it out Monday morning. So like now I'm like, you know what, dude, stop stressing like that. Like do it, you know, 2-3 weeks in advance, you know, and that way it's already there. It's already queued up. So just trying to get better and more efficient at those type things to where now it doesn't feel like, cause you don't want it to feel like a job. It's a hobby. You don't want it to feel like a job. So so just trying to get better at that.
That's amazing. I love your rating, and I really like the explanation behind that. Yeah. So really, really awesome. Now, which anime series would you want to recommend to a newbie? You know, for someone who was want to start an anime series, what would you recommend?
So I think, like, a preface a little bit earlier, I did an episode on my podcast about 10 anime starters that are on Netflix, only because obviously everybody pretty much has Netflix right now. And if you don't have Netflix, you know, a cousin, sister, aunt, uncle, grandmother, or, you know, best friend that has Netflix that you may or may not have the login access to. I recommended a lot of shows on that one, but for me, I'd say Seven Deadly Sins is a really good intro to anime. I love Seven Deadly Sins. I love the art style. Again, it has my romantic relationship in there. It has the character development that I love. Now, if you're one of those type people that doesn't like OP characters from the very beginning, then I wouldn't recommend that one, because obviously the Sins are like the strongest at this time, like in the show. My fallback to that always is Full Metal Alchemist. Like, Full Metal Alchemist is a show that I would suggest 10 times out of 10. Like, 10, like, I would give that show a 10 out of 10 rating. And it's funny because I asked my co-host yesterday on a collaboration the same question, what would you recommend, and he said Full Metal Alchemist. I'm like, so Full Metal Alchemist is clearly the go-to. It's really dope, and I think that show has a perfect combination of lighthearted moments and dark moments to show you the night and day of anime. And so that show is good.
You know, I really like some of the scenes. I haven't watched fully the Full Metal Alchemist. I watched live action movie probably 1 or 2 times, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, from what I can tell, I can really feel there's a happy and a sad moment on it. So I really like the show. I really like, if I were to go in the anime, it's gonna be a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it's I would recommend that, and then the other ones would be like Megalobox, because I really love Megalobox, the boxing anime, and on Netflix. Inuyasha. So again, Inuyasha just checks all those boxes again: the fighting, the action, the romantic relationships, the witty banter, the light and dark moments. Those are just some shows that I would suggest.
Yeah, the full roller coaster ride of, you know, all these emotions. You can feel it.
Yeah.
Just one anime. So that's
they all and all of these grab you from the very first episode. That's why I really enjoy them, because they all grab you from that first episode. And if you're one of those type of people that, you know, everybody is, you have 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes to suck me in, or I'm going to move on. All of these shows kind of start off and grab you and, you know, drag you kicking and screaming. So,
wow. Yeah, super amazing. I really like your suggestion. Full Metal Alchemist, everyone. So
yes, Full Metal Alchemist.
Full Metal Alchemist is for you. Just
for you.
Put that on your number one list.
Yes, yes. All if you're right. thinking about getting into it, or if you haven't already watched it, watch Full Metal Alchemist.
All right. So where should we follow you on social media aside from Twitter?
So I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Anime Talk 12. So it's Anime Talk 12. And usually I'll have especially on Twitter, I'm a little bit more interactive on Twitter, but on there I usually post if I have any giveaways or any links to like new episodes and things like that. Since again, they come out every Monday Monday morning at midnight. So they usually drop at 12 a.m. So usually anything that I have, anything that I'm posting or anything that's coming up, I'm usually posting on those two, at Anime Talk 12.
All right. So please follow Matt, at Anime Talk 12. There
yep.
we go.
Yes, sir.
All right. So I guess that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And I really had fun personally, Matt. Thank you for being on.
No, thank you for being thank you for the invite, man. I appreciate it as well, Cam. I'm looking forward to it. And I mean, I think I owe you one. I have to bring you up on my podcast, and we'll talk through some stuff too.
Thank you so much, man. All right.
You're welcome.